Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Do not adjust your digital device. What you are about to see and hear may shock and appall you. Join our hosts as they encounter countless thrills, spills, chills, and hilarity as they explore the very weirdest in pop culture. The following media is so strange, so beyond the scope of what is normal, it will make you ask the question, why does this exist?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Why Does This Exist? I'm Chris.
I'm Rob.
And we are joined today by someone that has not been on the scene in a very long time. This is a pro wrestling episode. We are talking about something wrestling, WrestleMania related. Some of these things may, in fact, have occurred at a WrestleMania, which means we can only be talking about one person. He's been living with aliens for the longest time, and the Pentagon has classified that information until recently. Because now they just don't care anymore. He's part of the Galactic Federation. This is Earth. He is Earth's last hope. Spaceman Frank, everybody.
How you doing? I'm officially putting Earth's last hope on any further resumes I need to make in the future. But yes, I've been hanging out in the Pentagon basement with Tupac and CM Punk, and I'm ready to emerge and kind of get back on the scene.
How's Mr. Phil's how's his tricep doing?
You know, it was looking pretty gnarly. You know, it messed up some of his tattoos. That's really where the recovery process is.
Right.
You know, the repair is fine. It's recovering the tattoos. That's the issue.
Oh, well, that's not too bad. Tupac may have learned a couple of things in the clink, but then again, he came out of it selling 3 million records. So good for him. Speaking of which, how many albums is he up to now? They keep saying he's dead, but I don't believe it. More things have been released than when he was alive.
That's how it works.
Yep.
He can't stop them.
Paul Biggie. No, you can't. I guess the trick to a successful rap career is just tell everyone you died and release albums anyway.
Well,
just get a good sound engineer, record it in analog, and just tell them make my stuff sound like the decade that everyone thinks that I passed away in.
Yeah.
And then we'll be good. And just get a bunch of current guests that I would have never worked with in my lifetime because I would have hated everything that they do. But just do that because that'll sell. And no one will question my integrity because they'll think I'm dead.
You know what? And with the advent of like AI technology, you're going to like see, like, you could probably record like an AI generated like Tupac album and just keep doing them because it's, you know, it's getting that good.
Oh, no. When ChatGPT 5 comes out, I'm going to see if it can handle the power of a Tupac and Biggie space opera with David Bowie.
God, you know it's coming, too. It's like, what would have Tupac sounded like in 2023?
Yeah. Oh, yes. With special guest Freddie Mercury on three select tracks. We won't tell you which ones. And Devin Townsend will be doing the entire soundtrack. Christ. I don't know why. Also, why not throw Frank Zappa in there? He would have hated that.
Why not? He'd hate it.
But if any of you don't, this is the first time that we are going to be that we are using Craig with three people. So we're going to see how he does.
That's
We're giving this the Holtz Foyer test. This is the first time in a long time that three men have been recorded by a bear. Oh God, that was a terrible innuendo. let me take that back. Ever again. This is the first time in the history of this podcast that three men of questionable hygiene and questionable weight classes will be collaborating in the same pond while being monitored by a very large hairy bear. Oh God, I did it again. These men will be alone in a room with a bear. Oh God, I did it again. Let's stop this. Let's stop all these things. I'll never do that again. Never again will I say that three men are stuck in a room with a bear and the bear is enjoying every minute of their conversation. Oh God, I've done it again. Okay. We are Why Does This Exist? We are a podcast that talks about the very weirdest in pop culture, including three men and their toys being recorded by a bear with toys of his own. Oh God, there it goes again. The fun never ends. This is Why Does This Exist? We're a podcast about the very weirdest in pop culture. Whether we're talking about strange recording situations, such as we are in right now at the current point in time, whether we're going to talk about some pro wrestling matches, which we will in just a minute, or if we discuss some strange music like we did last week with Sun-O, or anything else that kind of falls into the category of strange, TV, movies, books, video games, you name it, it's just going to get covered at some point or another, whether you like it or not. You could support us a handful of ways. You could do that in the best way possible by giving us lots of money. And you could do that by going over to patreon.com/whydoesthisexist. You could give us as little as a dollar or as much as you want. There are tiers to the levels. Doesn't make a difference which one you want. But you can always get access to the Discord server by giving us a dollar. We'll let you in. You can hang out with us. Maybe we'll let you pitch some ideas. You can come be on an episode or two, where you might get to be able to pick the topic of choice. Or if you want to give us a ridiculous load of money, then we'll be forced to listen to the Lulu album, and we'll have to do an episode on it, which we really don't want to do, and that's why we're asking for $10,000. We need to eat, so we want to eat lobster. So if you're going to put us through punishment, we're going to make sure that we get something out of it.
But what happens when you inadvertently listen to Lulu, because everyone's, you know, going to be playing it over the summer?
No, they will not be. Not in this house of mine. But also, we've updated the Patreon. We've moved all of the content on our website. Why Does This Exist? We're not going to be keeping the lease, basically. The rent is too damn high. It just doesn't make any sense. We're not even there anymore. My Guma lives in that house. I don't really care about her. That thing, we're going to end that in a couple of weeks. So it doesn't even make sense to be on that website anymore. So instead, all of the articles and all of the future articles will be on the Patreon. So it's all been backed up. It's all ready to go. So just head on over to patreon.com/whydoesthisexist and take a look at what we have. We may put a couple of articles that are really fancy or like any special interviews or something behind joining the Patreon, but otherwise everything is going to be on there for free. So you get a little bit more insight as to who we are and how crazy we are and the kind of stuff that you should expect on our episodes. But you can also support us on social media, mostly just going on to facebook.com/whydoesthisexist. Like our stuff, and if you want to be like Muhammad and Jared, you can send us all this weird crap and tag us in it, and we'll probably give you a shout out on the podcast. And I guess that's about it. Oh, you could also, if you want to support us in private, you of course can listen to us on any platform that you get your podcasts. And if there's someone who holds a very special place in your heart that you just want to ruin their day, just tell them about our show. I can't think of a better way to get revenge on someone than to say, hey, listen to this. I thought you would like it. Knowing that the person would hate everything about it. That's a pretty good plan of revenge for me. Anyway, that's my shtick. That's the news. Here's the weather. You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge from a ragtag group of rogues. So let's get on with the goddamn show. What are we talking about, boys?
So, of course, you know, going into WrestleMania season, we have to talk about something wrestling related. And we've already done bad wrestling gimmicks. So now we're going to do bad or weird wrestling gimmick matches, which there are many throughout the history of wrestling. This could be like just matches that either are very strange or that make absolutely no sense or that were just really bad. There are a number of those types of matches, of course. I don't know if how do we want to do this? If we want to just start naming some or what, I don't know, you know, what do we think the worst one of all time is, or the worst ones?
For the most part, a gimmick match basically comes around, or at least in the olden times.
Yes.
A gimmick match would come around towards the end of the feud or a middle of the feud between two rivals that were competing for a championship or just in a regular grudge match that just needed to get the feud towards the end, and they needed to up the ante, and they needed to make it feel like it was officially finished. Like, there was nothing else that these guys could do to each other, and they hate each other so much. What's it going to take to get them to stop fighting? So you would usually enter the gimmick match, where the stakes are higher, the risk for injury is that much greater, especially in kayfabe times, where everybody thought that it was real. So they would introduce a gimmick. One of the earlier ones was something like First Blood, where she would just be whoever the first person is to bleed heavily would be declared the loser,
mm-hmm.
or a submission match where you could only make the other person tap out or say uncle or whatever it was that you were going to do. And then later in the 80s and 90s, we got introduced to a lot more violent matches. I would say actually the 70s, I'm sorry, when they introduced the Texas Bull Rope match, they would start to get violent, or the street fights. Then you would start to see a little bit more violence getting into things. And then, of course, in the 80s and 90s, you got a lot of the cage matches that you would see. Cage matches were also pretty much the other OG gimmick match, where these guys were like, nothing can contain these guys. We're trying to keep all these people out and make sure that the two people that need to fight each other stay in. So we're putting them in the lion's den, and you'd put them in a cage. Anything like that. And of course, all these things got escalated in the 80s and 90s to the 90s and the 2000s, where we end up getting ladder matches and TLCs and, you know, all sorts of crazy things. The Hell in the Cells, Elimination Chambers, all that stuff. But the gimmick was really just something that made it not a normal match.
Yes.
And over time, more and more fans gravitated toward only watching the gimmick matches. Or they became a little bit more obsessed with the more violent matches because wrestling just became a lot more violent over time. And more gimmick matches were introduced. And the booker's job is really just to make sure that people keep watching the product and that they're interested in the story. And so how do they do that? Sometimes they have to escalate the feud into a gimmick match, and it has to crescendo at a gimmick match. But you have to start coming up with new ideas because people have already seen some gimmick matches already enough times. Like for example, when the cage match was the only gimmick match, eventually people got tired of seeing the cage matches.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to introduce something else, and then there would be other matches, and then we get to the point now where the Hell in a Cell match became an advertisement for a children's toy.
Basically.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And now there's all kinds of crazy things where you have to try to do so many absurd gimmicks to hold someone's attention that none of them mean anything anymore. And when you're coming up with new ideas for gimmicks, some of them are very good, and like the Hell in a Cell originally was. And I think now it feels more important now that Triple H is in charge of WWE and that, or at least in charge of the creative, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
he's putting a lot more focus on dispersing the Hell in a Cells, because you used to only see them like once every couple of years.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing them
always
a lot.
Only at pay-per-view usually.
Yes.
And now they've done them on regular TV.
Yes, where now he's doing them a lot less frequently, which I like. They got rid of the Hell in the Cell themed pay-per-view. Like it got so bad that we have gimmick pay-per-views now where it revolves around the gimmick and nobody cares about, and the match doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I thought it was stupid, because I liked when they did like those.
The only exception being the Royal Rumble.
Right. But Royal Rumble is like its own separate thing, or like King of the Ring. That's its own separate thing, you know?
Yes. Which that has died a death too.
Yes. I liked when they used to do like those kinds of special, like the Hell in a Cell, only at like WrestleMania or like SummerSlam, like the two big events of the year, you know?
And again, like I said, you would only see it every like couple of years.
Right. Mm. And so like they started doing like Extreme Rules and all this shit, which was the stupidest thing ever, because we're in the PG era. So like, how could you possibly make a good Extreme Rules?
Right.
And, you had stupid matches like the friggin' Asylum match. So this is a good example of a bad gimmick match, which is like they just took a steel cage and lined it with weapons like at the top, and then like threw like Jericho and Dean Ambrose at the time, of course John Moxley now, into it, and like they couldn't do anything. They couldn't do any good spots because they couldn't have blood, because it's the PG era. So it was like, it was the stupidest hardcore match ever and the most boring hardcore match ever that only had like one good tack spot, and that was it.
Yes. It like, we'll put it to you this way, as people who were in attendance at that event, the gimmick match became, there were so many gimmicks in this gimmick match pay-per-view, and this one was the worst one, and it was so bad that a cage match became the pee break match in an era where the Divas title was still a thing.
Yeah.
That's how bad this was.
Didn't that match like some of the weapons were like a mop and like that? It's like, look how wacky we are. It's like,
yes,
there was a potted fire plant. Extinguisher. Yeah.
A potted plant was used in this match. That's how bad it was.
They seem to imply that Dean Ambrose like picked the weapons himself. It's like, why didn't he choose like, why wasn't he like, oh, like, here's a staple gun, here's this. Like, it makes no sense. It's like,
right.
Oh, I guess let's use the mop. Like, yeah, you know?
It became like a parody of itself, basically.
Like, yes. There's a reason they only did it once.
Yes.
Yes. There were so many. But like I said, when you need to get more and more creative with your gimmicks because you're overusing the gimmicks, some of your ideas are very good and some of your ideas are atrocious.
Yes.
Like the example we've just used. Yeah. And they're not all cage variants, although a lot of them happen to be.
No. And
but some of them are just absolutely awful.
I would even argue that there's some gimmick matches that on paper are really stupid, even though the times that they did happen, they were really good. Like if you heard about the match on paper, you'd be like, wow, that probably would suck. But then, like, the matches that actually happened, the workers were so good, it didn't matter that it was kind of a weird gimmick. Like, it just worked.
Yes, and vice versa, where you saw gimmick matches that sounded really great on paper, but they were terrible in execution. Yes. And sometimes it was the wrestler's fault for just not having the right chemistry. And other times, the match just sucked. Like, sometimes the gimmick was just a terrible idea that sounded better than it was. Or sometimes there were vague rules, or, like, they called it something else to pique your interest. And then when you actually saw what it was, it was just a terrible idea.
Yes.
For example, the Ring of Fire match, which was just a normal Inferno match, and they couldn't call it that because it was because we were in the PG era, which I think is stupid to begin with. But also, Inferno matches, while they sound really cool, which the concept of an Inferno match is the ring is like there's
just Just
there's
fire.
Fire around the ring.
Right.
And whoever gets burned first loses. That sounds awesome on paper. It sounds like a great idea. And it's like, yeah, of course I would like to see that. I'm a sadist. And you see these matches and they're not very good.
No,
they're just they're some
gingerly
of them
trying not to get burned until the appropriate time. And even then, it's just like, let me as safely as possible set myself on fire.
Yes. And most of the time, these gentlemen have long hair and tights and tights and things, yeah. And they're wearing very flammable everything.
And they're covered in baby oil. So they're like, you know, just yes. Like a friggin' candle, basically.
It's just one of those things where you thought it seemed like a better idea on paper than it actually was.
Yeah.
And that's probably why they've only done a handful of them. Also, they are very dangerous to work.
Yes.
Yeah. I just imagine, like, in general, like, it's gotta be wildly uncomfortable, like, you know, being surrounded by fire, it's probably hot, you know.
Oh,
if it's not, like, super smoky, it's like, you know, it's... It's not fun. The poor ref who didn't ask for any of this also has to stand in the middle of the ring,
yeah.
Like, worried about the fire.
You and the other person are sweating all over each other, so everything is more slippery than usual.
Yep.
So it's just, there's so much more injury that you could sustain, not including getting burned alive.
Yeah.
That it's just kind of, well, why did we even agree to this?
I feel like you'd be a lot more conscientious of, like, where your limbs are and, like, normal movements where it's like, oh, wait, like, my arm's going right near the fire.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you really can't even go into the ropes. Like, how do you work that, like, just how do you try to work that match and hope that it's any good at all?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, that's really your best bet. Like you're not even, like, I can't imagine even thinking about the match. I feel like the whole time you're thinking, I hope that neither of us gets killed.
Yeah, pretty much. So I think that kind of takes away from it, and that's why.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why they don't do that one so much, because yeah. I don't think there's ever been a good Inferno match.
I think one match that kind of sounds stupid on paper, but actually usually ends up being good, is the Buried Alive match, because it's like,
yes.
You know, especially, you know, in the times when they were still trying to keep kayfabe, it's like, okay, they're not really going to bury someone a lot. Like, that's like just kind of stupid, but like, they were always great matches. They were always fun matches. They usually had a lot of action.
Yep. And they usually, they build towards the right time to actually, yes, like, do the finish in the grave, because the grave is closer to the entrance ramp.
Yes.
And I would say the same thing about a casket match.
Yes.
Because anything with the dead and funerary practices are, like, for some reason in pro wrestling, are things where they end up making for good gimmick matches, despite sounding like bad ideas.
The one time that it didn't,
unless it's involved in a Katie Vick storyline, then it's terrible.
I think the one time where the casket match didn't work, and this is only because it was modified thanks to fucking, of course, Vince Russo, was the Last Rites match, where the casket was in the middle of the ring. And so there was only done once between Sting and Abyss in TNA. And they couldn't actually, like, do anything because there was the fucking casket in the middle of the ring. So the match was so bad that the crowd started screaming "Fire Russo" so loudly that the commentary team had to yell to be heard.
That's great. So I've never seen that.
I've never personally seen that. I read about it. And I was like, oh my God, of course it's a Vince Russo.
Yeah. I've seen highlights. It's like, I think it starts off normal, but then they lower the casket down, which is just, it's a very like hilarious image, like watching these guys basically stop fighting as this casket lowers down. And then like they had like fake tombstones around. So like, it's like, that was the only thing that like, oh, it's supposed to be like kind of spooky and creepy, and here's these tombstones. Like, they didn't do any other like set dressing. It's just like, we got a couple of these from Party City.
Yeah.
With the exception of traditional casket matches and buried alive matches, any time that they go for spooky anything is usually a terrible idea.
Yes.
And usually doesn't work. For example, and I think I know where you're going with this, so I think I'm actually going to let you take it first.
Well, I was going to say the only time it worked, like where it was like over the top and like spooky, was when
that is not what I thought you were going to say.
Well, I was going to say when it was over the top, like it was because it was so over the top. And that was like the final deletion and like the Matt Hart, like because it was so over the top and ridiculous. And you could tell that they were just like purposely making fun of like how stupid it was. Like that's it worked there. Like when it wasn't taking itself seriously.
Yes, it was the.
And it probably helps that was pre-recorded, so they could like
do
multiple takes and like get the best angles.
Yes,
and some of that actually ended up being used during the pandemic in the very beginning when we had Undertaker's kind of last WrestleMania match against AJ Styles, which I still think that they could have probably done a halfway decent, like, traditional match, and I would have liked to have seen AJ Styles have that one, but
yeah,
I understand why both parties felt like that was the best way to go, and honestly, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was right in the beginning of the pandemic. No one knew what the hell was going on yet, so they were like, okay, let's just play it safe and do it like a pre-recorded.
Yeah, I forget. Did they call it the Last Ride match or something like that?
I think it was just like a modified... Oh, it was a Boneyard match.
That's what it was, yes.
Yeah. But it was essentially just like a very elaborate Buried Alive match.
Yeah,
like on like a property outdoors, you know.
Yeah, and I actually liked it. It was a cinematic Buried Alive match.
Yes,
I guess is the best way to put that.
Yeah.
But no, I was gonna. I thought you were gonna say something that they did a few. They did this a couple of years ago on NXT. It was a lumberjack match with zombies because they were doing a promotion with the movie.
No, that was Army of the Dead. That was Miz versus John Morrison. That was the main channel.
Oh, no, that's right. There was that was a storyline with Cameron Grimes with zombies. That's what it was. I'm sorry. I was confused. But
either way, there were zombies involved. They're both stupid.
It was not a good match. And all done to promote a movie for some stupid reason. I don't even think that it was in October, the match. I think it was just like in April or something, and they were like, oh yeah, zombies. Why not?
Yeah, it was the Army of the Dead movie with Dave Bautista in it.
Of course.
Yeah. And I just remember watching that and just laughing, and like, John Morrison got ate by zombies, but he was okay, but then he was released, so maybe he wasn't okay. Like,
there was no resolve to this. He didn't become a zombie. Did he get an antidote? No, we'll never know.
The only good part was when, like, they both, like, stopped, like, I think it was Damian Priest was the other guy in the match. Like, they all stopped, and they're like, we gotta fight the zombies together. Like, and they, like, teamed up temporarily. I'm like, oh my god.
So bad. That's, like, something that you would see on an indie show, and people would enjoy, because everyone's aware of what an indie show is.
Exactly.
Once you see it on, like, regular TV, you're just like, what the hell is this? Without getting into things, that's what I think the main problem with AEW is that it's an indie show on national television, and most people are just like, most people who are trying to watch this on national television have a different standard for pro wrestling. So when they see that, they're like, what the hell is this? Meanwhile, the indie wrestling fans are like, oh, this is fun. So I think that's what the main issue is. But we won't get into the WWE AEW discussion.
Yeah,
because well, that we could be here for hours.
I do want to say one thing about like a very specific AEW gimmick match, and that was the Stadium Stampede match.
I've never watched one of those, but from what I've heard, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, so here's the I liked it. I've watched a couple of them. I'll talk about the first one a little bit because it was what were they called? It was the Elite versus like. I forget what Jericho's stable was at the time.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It's been so long.
That was Jericho has, Society, but it was
everybody has so many.
It was something else. It's the same stable. The pinnacle, they haven't changed, basically.
No, wasn't it wasn't the pinnacle. The inner circle, that's what it was.
There it is.
Yeah, it was the Elite versus the Inner Circle. And it was a good match. The problem with it, though, is that... So, again, it was at the height of the pandemic, and so they were doing, like, a match... in the Jaguars football stadium because they couldn't have crowds. So it was like a pre-recorded kind of cinematic match. The only issue was that it was a big empty stadium and like, okay, like they get to do like a lot of like cool stuff in the middle of the field and they went around the whole stadium and they were in the pool and whatever. But the issue with it was that like, once they like actually split up into their separate little like fights, you know, everyone like kind of went off and did their own thing. It became hard to follow because like you couldn't see what was happening at all times because it was so spread out.
How many cameramen did they have on this?
They had cameramen for like basically everyone, but the problem was that they can't like show everything that's happening at once. They didn't do like split, you know, multi-split screen with all like,
oh, I see,
you know. Yeah. So
because it was like it wasn't presented as like this is all happening in real time. It was basically like cut to this fight, cut to this fight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't possible to do it in like a, you know, a real time fashion, really, because there was no choice for it to be cinematic because of like the nature of it, you know. So that's like my criticism of that. It was a pretty good match. They had a lot of good spots and stuff. It was just like, you know, it was just kind of like weird with like the way it like, yeah, they had to keep skipping back and forth through all these like different things that were happening and you couldn't really, you know, follow one thing from start to finish.
Okay.
There was a bunch of good highlights, but I don't know if I want to watch it all again. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I see.
The other weird thing too is they put like a ring in the middle of this empty stadium. I would have preferred it just be like you guys all fight in the stadium. There's no ring.
Yeah.
Just have at it and like take even more advantage because they did a lot of like wild stuff within the stadium, but it's like there could have been a lot more.
Yeah. I feel like the ring in the middle was really just useless. Like there was no point in having it because like,
yeah, if you're in an really entire stadium and you're going to use the whole stadium, why bother putting a ring there in the first place?
Yeah, they barely even use the ring. I guess to make it, oh, look, it's a wrestling match. There's a ring. You know?
Yeah, like, but like, I guess if the rules would be that you have to win inside the ring or something, there's a reason for it to be there. But it's also, I don't understand. And it doesn't seem like there were any rules thought out.
Yeah, it was a weird thing.
Okay, well, anyway. Back to the spooky. The thing that I was going to say that is probably the worst spooky thing of all time is the Chamber of Horrors match. Not to be confused with the Chamber of Horrors match, which is something completely different at another organization. But a Chamber of Horrors match was basically a giant cage and an electric chair in the middle of the ring. It was decorated with fake graves, shrunken heads, and all this other nonsense because it was during a Halloween-themed pay-per-view. It was Halloween Havoc 91 for WCW. And you couldn't win by simple pinfall or submission or even putting someone in a casket. No, none of these easy things. You had to put someone in the electric chair and electrocute them. You had to throw the switch and electrocute them and commit manslaughter on national television and that would be it. And that's how your team won the match. I have no other words for that. There's only been one. And it basically looked like a giant game of Duck, Duck, Goose from what McFoley's book has said. It's really bad.
Has there ever been like a good use of like electricity in wrestling? Like between the Chamber of Horrors, TNA had the like electrified steel cage match. Even like WCW had their brief like cattle prod.
What was the electrified steel cage match?
Oh, so basically, I think it was the Dudley Boys in LAX had like a steel cage match where allegedly there was like 10,000 volts of electricity running through the cage. So like if you hit the cage, it would electrocute you. And they like on occasion would remember to do it, and like they flicked the lights to like in and like had like the very stereotypical like buzzing noise. It's worth checking out. It's hilarious.
Sounds terrible. The problem most of that, these are most of these bad gimmick matches are cage variations for some strange reason.
Yes.
I think they're just the biggest culprits are the cage match variants.
Perfect example, another really terrible gimmick that shouldn't have been a thing was the Punjabi prison match. which was just like, what were they thinking? Like, and of course it's like the great Khali, because it's, you know, because he's from Punjab,
couldn't he not compete in the first match that was supposed to be his specialty for some reason?
I think he was in. Oh, really?
I know at least one, he had elevated liver enzymes. So they subbed him out for like the big show. Oh, I want to say it was like the very first one.
They should have taken it as a sign and not tried to do more of them.
I mean, also, generally, cages are supposed to be, like, for these high-flying, like, things, because you do these crazy spots, usually jumping off the top of the cage. And the great Khali moves slower than friggin', like, anybody. Like, he's he can't like 8 feet, anything.
He's, like, 8 feet tall and, like, 700 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, and he can't do, like, anything. He basically could only walk around the ring. So why are you having him in a cage match? Like, I guess
how is he going to climb this cage?
Right.
You know?
The only way it could have worked if it's like, oh, you can't win by pinfall or you can't win by climbing the cage. You only can win by pinning the great Khali in your track, like almost like the friggin' like the bone saw match in Spider-Man, where you just have to survive or pin him, you know. Survive for 5 minutes with the great Khali in the cage, you know.
Yep.
I will say I like the look of the Punjabi prison like setup.
Yeah.
Except for the inner cage. If we got rid of that and like maybe like say like, oh, like the outside cage like is taller than a normal cage, or like maybe it's like a rough material, like if they could like break off a kendo stick or something like that. But like just the whole look, like it's got to be hard to like look at anything inside there. It's just,
it
looks flimsy.
Well, it also was like impossible to shoot because like all the cameramen could not get a good angle in there because the cages have like, because all the holes in the cages are like, they have a pretty decent space for a camera to actually like get in there and see what's going on, where because you have two cages, the holes are of varying sizes or the holes will like overlap with each other, so like it'll just completely block out your view of anything.
Right.
It was just impossible to shoot, not to mention Batista, I think it was Batista, almost died in one of those matches because they have another thing, which is like most cage matches have a, like most cages have a door on the side of them. And the Punjabi prison one had a door that would open like randomly every few minutes for a short window or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would just drop the door back down. So there was like a spot that either they were late on or the timing of the door dropping was off or something. And Batista like went into the door thing and then it dropped and I guess he was I forget what the spot was. I think he was supposed to catch it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or he was supposed to jump through it. No, I think that's what it was. I think he was supposed to jump through it and get into the second cage. So how you have to win the Punjabi prison is you escape the first cage and then you have to escape the second cage. And he tried to jump through the door and I think the door either shut or was like, or like was a, or like the door either shut early or something else happened and he ended up like almost crashing into it, or he crashed into it, but he like was able to save himself, or he almost crashed head first into this like steel thing that was coming down on him. So he would have been like decapitated in the freaking match. Jesus. Jeez. Or just sustained a severe brain injury.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very dangerous and stupid idea. Whoever thought that would, like, draw money, because it didn't.
Yeah.
Another variant, this one actually, this one is not a terrible idea on paper, and it looks really cool until the match happened. And also the storyline was just stupid. Where the Kennel from Hell match.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
this was just a terrible idea. It looked cool, and, like, listen, on paper, I can understand why it would sound appealing. There's the regular cage, and then there's the Hell in the Cell cage on top of the regular cage. Now, that mm-hmm. sounds pretty cool. It makes a good look, but in between the Hell in a Cell cage, there's Rottweilers and these, like, hungry dogs that are going to bite anybody who tries to get outside of that cage.
Yeah.
But you have to get through both of them in order to win, and you have to get out the cage. That sounds kind of cool on paper. It sounds like, but this match was not good. It was, like, also the build was terrible. How did we get here? Al Snow had a dog. The dog went missing. The dog's name was Pepper. Big Boss Man, who was a SWAT officer, who was pretty much the poster child for police brutality, shows up and tells him, "Oh, I found Pepper." And he's like, "Oh, that's great." So he, also the phone number that he had people call was Val Venus's cell phone number.
Of course.
So Val Venus would get text messages and calls from people all the time and not understand why. And they would, like, ask him if they found the dog. And he would just be like, "Who keeps calling me?" Not knowing that his phone number was broadcast across national television.
Hilarious.
Yeah, Al Snow's book is actually really good. But, so, anyway, Big Boss Man says, "Hey, dude, I found your dog." And he's like, "Oh, that's great." And he goes, "Yeah, why don't you come by to my hotel room tonight, and I'll give you the dog." So he comes to the dog, and he's like, "Oh, you know, are you hungry?" "Yeah, I actually could. Yeah, I got some Chinese food." "Oh, okay, that's great." And he's eating the Chinese food. He's like, "Oh, thank you so much. This is so great. When can I get the dog?" And he's like, "Oh, are you enjoying your pepper steak?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then the Big Boss Man starts laughing. And then we realize he killed the dog and fed it to Al Snow. Yeah, that was a thing in the 90s. So we get to the Kennel from Hell match because reasons. What other reason do you want to tear somebody apart in a cage if they killed your dog and made you eat it? Like, a total Scott Tannerman storyline just happened here. And we get this. Now, the match, not very good on its own, if it was a regular match. And then when you throw the dogs in, well, these hungry dogs that are supposed to be vicious and all these other things, well, the dogs went to the bathroom outside of the cage. Some of it got caught on camera by accident, and they didn't realize that the dogs were of opposite gender. So at some point, the dogs started humping during the match. Yeah, they never did that one again.
Yeah, that's just, like, you know, what would they, like? And of course, again, another Vince Russo creation there for you.
Yeah, other, like, things that... I'm sorry, say what you were going to say.
I just think, like, the only way I could see this working as someone who, like, works with animals is, like, if you had one guy with one dog, and it's, like... Because otherwise, it literally went to shit.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Like, yeah. And it's like, oh, you have to get past this dog, and it will hunt you down if you drop to the floor. And even then, it's like, well, if this dog is actually vicious, like, you know, you could have them dress up in padding, but there's no guarantee it's not gonna like do something bad.
Yeah.
So it's like, even then, but like if you just had the one dog that was like trained to be like, oh, it's going to attack you, then it would probably work, but it doesn't have the visual aspect of like all the dogs, but that immediately was thrown out the window too. So that's the only way I could see something like that working. But it's like, don't do that to the dog.
I mean, but not even, because like half the time, like just like if you're just watching, like half the time if you're watching like America's Funniest Home Home Videos or like a Ridiculousness, and like the category is people just getting mauled by dogs, it's usually hilarious.
Yeah.
So like there's no suspense in that match that would make you say, oh my god, I hope he's okay, because you would probably just start cracking up. Because, well, again, hi, I'm a sadist. Welcome to Sadist Anonymous.
Yeah.
Would you like some coffee?
I think it's just like that all animal-based matches, too, just turn to be, like, bad. Because animals are unpredictable, and they don't really, like, you know, it's not like when you're, like, working with animals, like, in a TV show where you have multiple takes. Like, when you're doing a live show with untrained animals... like, it's not going to work, because they don't, like, perfect example is, like, you know, like, the hog pen match was just stupid. Like, it was a stupid idea.
Yes, I was going to say, any matches where it involves animals or the end result is getting someone thrown into something is always terrible, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's the hog pen match, and there was also a dog poo match that they did in, like, I think the late 80s or something for some stupid reason. Yeah, the British Bulldogs and dog poop. I don't know. And... we've also seen the Thanksgiving matches where people get thrown into gravy and stuff.
Yeah.
None of these matches are any good either. Yeah. Anything food related is terrible, or fecal matter, or any kind of a bath related match in general, like a bloodbath match or something.
Yeah.
None of those are good. When the object is just to throw something at someone or to throw them in a pile of something, except for the buried alive match. For some reason, the buried alive variants are, well, they're also quite terrible, but they're very scarcely used.
Well, I will say with, like, buried alive and casket matches, kind of, like, bringing it, like, full circle, at least they're, like, simple to understand. It's, like, take your opponent, put them over here. Like,
yes.
Anyone gets that. Like, it has, like, a unique style, and, like, there's a drama of, like, oh, I'm going to close the lid and stuff like that. So, like...
right.
I give, like, that's probably why they get a pass, because it's like, it's simple, like, everyone gets it, you know.
Right, and also, it's very logical. It's like, well, what's the last thing that you would like to be thrown in?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which brings us to the dumpster match, which those are actually okay, too.
Yeah. But, like, that's something that makes sense. It's not like, oh, okay, I'm gonna, like, throw you, like, in a pile of mud that's just in an arena for some reason. You know,
right?
Like, okay, like, yeah, you're throwing him in a dumpster. Like, that's something that could, like, realistically happen in a street fight. Someone could throw you in a dumpster, you know?
As someone who's been thrown in dumpsters, yes.
It's not like, you know, everyone just like, oh, look, there's a pig pen. I'm going to throw that guy into it. You know, like, what? Why?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Just what, like, is this to gain?
My only note for a dumpster match is it should go on last. And periodically, they should show, like, other wrestlers, like, throwing their trash in there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, build up the suspense.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, oh, man, I have all these leftover cabbage. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, like, someone like, it... oh, man, that Taco Bell's making me sick. And they, like, barf into the dumpster, you know? Just, like, all this gross stuff.
Yeah, make us believe that they don't want to go into this dumpster.
Yeah, give us you got to build the dumpster story.
Yeah.
But oh god, another thing. Well, these matches are bad because they're very slow and dangerous. These are one of the older wrestling matches that we would see. This was another OG gimmick match that a lot of people used to look forward to for some reason. But none of the matches have been any good because it's just a terrible circumstance where you can't do anything, and they are legitimately very dangerous. It's the scaffold match.
Mm-hmm.
You might still occasionally see it on an indie show, but why would you? It's just basically it's exactly what it sounds like. It's two teams of people fighting, or just two wrestlers fighting on top of a scaffold, and the objective of the match is to knock the other person off the scaffold to certain doom. And the scaffold is a normal size scaffold for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you get like this big, it's not like it's wide enough for anyone to really do anything on. And on top of that, it's also like, it's not that sturdy. They usually tend to wobble a little bit.
Yeah.
And like, you can't even do a real move onto it because you might break the scaffold and potentially kill both of you.
Yeah.
And so there's really nothing. It's usually just a bunch of people punching and kicking each other. And that's about all that they can really do until someone like collapses and the other guy throws him off. Most of the, and, or they do the dangle spot or something, but a lot of these, like, nothing really, they're limited into what they can do. And on top of that, they're trying to make sure that they don't die, similar to the Inferno match. And it's just very clunky. And just people like Jim Cornette have, like, when they fall off, usually they're usually legitimately hurt for a long time. Like, I think he tore both, I think he blew his quads out or something from that, or he like hurt his knee from that. And then I think
he hurt both his knees or something like
that.
That's
what it was. He blew out both of his knees. And I think when he went to the doctor asked him if like, asked him, like, I think the doctor told him that he was lucky to survive that car accident, and he was like, I wasn't in a car accident.
Yeah.
He was like, I was in a wrestling match, and the doctor's like, you mean you did this on purpose?
Yeah.
That's got to be the reaction from every wrestling doctor when they take someone in, and they're, and someone, and they're like, what did you do? And they're like, yeah, I'm a pro wrestler. And like, what? This was your own volition? Yes, it was. Why? Well, I didn't plan on getting hurt, but I knew the risk. Well, yeah, but why? Or like, Evel Knievel's doctor must have been, like, must have sent an entire generation to, like, Ivy League colleges because of how injured this guy was.
Yeah.
They might even have a board seat. But yes, there are so many terrible matches, and most of them are cage matches.
Not
for some
all of
reason.
Them are.
Not all of them.
There's another match that I want to talk about that, like, is it? Let me see how it's fun to watch, but it's really not good for wrestling. And I'm kind of glad that they're gone. And that's, of course, Braun panties matches. Because they were like,
yeah, they serve no real purpose
exactly.
except to entertain men.
Exactly. To entertain men. That's all literally they're there for. Because, like, they're not good wrestling matches. They never were good wrestling. It's basically just, like, degenerates into a cat fight, essentially.
Yes, so and most of the time, during this era, they were not looking for women who actually could wrestle. It was just a swimsuit model or something, or a fitness model or something.
Yes.
Just
majority
any hot,
of them, yeah.
Pretty much just any hot girl that they like that was in really great shape.
That's not to say that all female wrestlers were like that in that era, because there
no,
were a few standouts like Trish and Lita and stuff like that actually could wrestle. But for the most part, it was, you know, they were just there to be a pretty face, basically.
Yes. Yeah, so they couldn't really wrestle to begin with, a lot of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, this would, it, like you said, it would just turn into a cat fight. And the whole point was to rip your rip the other person's clothes off and humiliate them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a relic of a bygone era.
Yes.
Thankfully, hopefully isn't coming back.
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
At least not on
I can see someone
wrestling.
Being like, we're bringing back classic wrestling, just some old school graps and the occasional bra and panties match.
Yeah. I think
I mean, it hasn't been 20 years since the last one, so it's, but at some point that will be considered classic wrestling.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could argue that it is almost because it, like, you know, it was happening a lot in the Attitude Era. That was like, you know, so you could argue
that
it is
then for sure.
Yeah, you could argue that it is, you know, a classic. You know,
you can. It was a sheer product of its time. I'll tell you that. Which, again, the thing that the thing that most people forget about the Attitude Era because of the rose-colored glasses is, for everything amazing that you remember, there's probably about 10 really stupid things that you don't.
Yeah.
That happened on the same show.
That was like the problem with the Ruthless Aggression Era, is that it was only like the bad stuff of the Attitude Era and not much of the good stuff. I mean, not to say that I don't like the Ruthless Aggression Era, because like, you know, that's when I grew up watching wrestling, was during that era, really.
Yes, but I would say the storylines of the Ruthless Aggression Era were the most absurd.
Yes.
Like, for example, the Katie Vick one, which I'm sure we talked about at large on whatever the last non-Vince McMahon sexual harassment related wrestling podcast that we spoke of.
Yes.
We spoke about at large. And also, like, this match was really good. The Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio ladder match at SummerSlam. Oh my gosh. That match
was
great.
The storyline was awful.
But the storyline was awful because... Oh, it was over the custody of Rey Mysterio's son Dominic, who now a wrestler himself.
And they kind of brought it back a little bit.
Yes, I was gonna say he's in a storyline fight with his dad, where he's like the shitty son. Excuse my language. He's the terrible son who is just jealous of his father's success and everything, and he's embracing the Eddie Guerrero part, and he's saying, you know, I'm more like Eddie anyway.
Yeah.
So it's good that they've used that now and they've turned it into a positive, but just by itself, the storyline was terrible, and Dominic was maybe like 8 to 10 years old at the time at best.
Yeah.
And it made no sense. And there were custody papers being suspended in the air. Where it's like, what court did they take this to get it legal to get it legalized?
Yeah,
like who
did they go before that said, oh yeah, this is a good idea. Yeah, this could be allowed. We'll the court's decision will rest on this wrestling match. Like,
I don't know.
It's quicker. It's simple. You know, it's like arbitration. It's like, all right, this is what you guys want to do. You know, I'm all for it.
It sounds like a Mobile, Alabama courthouse to me.
Yeah.
I don't understand, but none of those men killed a good old boy.
Oh God!
But that brings me to what's to what I think is probably the worst gimmick match stipulation of all time. Which anything on a pole?
Yeah.
Nothing is worse than an on a pole match.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, a brilliant creation from the mind of Vince Russo.
Of course.
Of just,
and I think we've talked about pole matches previously on the podcast as well. Well, I think when we talked about the White Castle of Fear match, we had mentioned a pole match for some reason.
Yes, it was that, and we had talked about the coal miner's glove match as well. Yes. Which, episode 3, guys. Episode 3. 80, what are we now? 88? I don't know. 85 episodes later, and we still haven't learned a goddamn thing.
Yeah, I mean, when you take wrestling, and it's like, it's only going to happen really in this one corner, and, you know, it's going to be centered around this one thing. Automatically, you know, all right, until they get the thing, nothing's going to happen. So, like, you don't pay attention to 90% of the match, you know, at least.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they got the thing now. Like, what's going to happen? 99% of the time, someone uses the thing, you know? Yeah.
Sometimes you don't win until you use the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And other times you just have to get the thing and you win.
The only times they're ever entertaining is if something goes wrong. Like, people can't climb the pole or the thing falls down. Like, that's the only good parts of them.
Yeah.
Because Eddie Guerrero in WCW, like, they had a on a pole match, and like the pole was too high and it was too slick, so he couldn't climb it. So like the video is him like trying to get it, and he had to like jump, and he like barely got it like off the pole. Oh, and it was just like it was a miracle he got it. Otherwise, like, the match would have just ground to a halt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's also been questionable items on the pole. They've ranged from pink slips on a pole, where the person, which this I never understood, The whole point of that match, whoever got the pink slip, the other guy got fired. Which, that's not how getting fired works.
Yeah.
Even for Pete, like, for even someone who's never been fired would say that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Really, it should be like the other way around, where it's like you get like you get your next paycheck or something. The other guy gets the pink slip.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's again. That's like I don't get it. Like nobody walks up to like it, if I were to get fired from a job, nobody walks up to me and says, "Oh, here are the like nobody walks up to me and says, "Here, here, this is, I got this. Someone gave me the, I found the pink slip and now I'm giving it to you so that you, so you're fired." And like, that's not exactly how that works. Or I can't find a pink slip and like go up to someone down the hall and say, "Hey, I got this pink slip. You're fired now." Like, that's just not how, that's not how getting fired works, folks. I don't even think a pink slip is a thing anymore. But again, bygone times. Unless, yeah. Unless again, you possibly live in Mobile, Alabama. Maybe that's a thing.
Well, you know,
we can't all be zingers. But it's gone from pink slips to Viagra.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in 2000 on Monday Nitro, Billy Kidman and Shane Douglas had to fight over Viagra on a pole.
Yeah.
I don't know what the context of this. I don't know if they were trying.
Oh, the store ran out. That's why they needed to go and get it on the pole.
Is that really what it is?
No.
Oh.
But what if that was it? It's like, this is the last bottle in the entire town. If you want it, you're going to have to fight for it.
Yeah.
But that's work. But like, neither of them wins because now everybody knows that they are dependent on Viagra. Like, I mean, the millions of the thousands in attendance and the millions watching at home now know that these two gentlemen need assistance, and they need it so badly in this moment of crisis that they're willing to fight each other over it in front of, like, for our entertainment. And these are the mid-carders to curtain jerkers, by the way. So you can only imagine what the main eventers wanted to fight over on this poll. Not to mention that they had the Nitro girls. That's a separate argument altogether. There's no correlation. But this has to take the cake. Again, a Nitro thing. Buff Bagwell's mother, I think she's dead, so possibly rest her soul, or at least a part of her, the part of her that died that day, if she's still alive, she was put on a pole. Actually, she was put on a forklift.
Mm.
That was the match. You had to either somebody had to retrieve his mother from a forklift, and I think I only saw this once just because I couldn't believe it happened. But I think she like fell off or something.
I thought it was like,
or she
they
jumped
put her
off
on there so she couldn't like interfere or something like that.
Is that
I don't
what
know
it
if
was?
She fell off because I don't. The only image I have of this match is her like standing nervously on a pallet on a forklift. Oh, so I'm not sure what exactly happened with it.
Just not a good idea.
Mm.
Or I don't know why they come up with these things, or King of the Road matches, or things where people are fighting in like,
mm-hmm.
or where people are fighting in a truck, or if people are, or like they've had like weird cross dressing matches where like the wrestlers wear women clothing.
Oh, yeah, loser wears a dress or something.
Well, loser wears a dress makes sense. If you lost, you're wearing a dress and you're humiliated. Yeah. Again, this was the 90s where.
Yeah.
Certain phobias were on display every night for entertainment. But yeah, there were a bunch of strange things, or people would just, there was the evening gown match where both contestants had to fight in dresses for some reason, and both of them were old men, so it made no sense. So I don't understand, but there's been tons of really terrible gimmick matches in the past.
Yeah.
And a lot of them came from decent matches, and some of them sounded good on paper. Some of them were, and some of them just did not sound good on paper. And in both events, they were terrible.
Yep.
So I don't know. Are there any others? I'm sure there's plenty of others that we could come up with.
There's a bunch, you know, that it's hard to name them all because there's a lot of like tiny ones that were kind of like one-off things that never happened again. Because they were so bad and they were so poorly received that they just never dared to do them again.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like similar to that, like, oh, like we gotta come up with like a unique match for this character. Something yes. that's gonna be like, here we go, this is what people are gonna remember. But that's like what hasn't been done already? I think that's like the problem when people come up with like gimmick matches, is like, well, what's new that hasn't been done? And yeah. like there's only so much you can do, you know?
Yeah.
And like it, like you said, it might sound good on paper, but it's like, you know, what if we did, instead of a ladder match, a King of the Mountain match where you put the title on the top of the ladder, or yeah. the reverse battle royal where we start outside and then we have to get into the ring. Like, you know, it's like, I guess you got to try it once, but it's like, it almost never works out. I think at this point, like, wrestling tropes are so entrenched that it's hard to come up with something new and different that's like, oh, like, yeah, like, we can do this, like, more than once.
Yeah. yeah. Or like, the, like, a million different death matches there are. Like, there's always, it's, you know, there's, like, eight, like, there's, like, literally, like, 1,000 different versions of the death match, and they all have, like, a different, like, gimmick. You could do a gimmick match podcast on death matches alone because of all the different death matches there are.
Sure could.
My favorite is just the optical weapon. It's like, oh, that's cost effective. Just have them bring their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, or I mean, I always liked in ECW when the fans would bring their own weapons. And then and then the wrestlers would proceed to use all of it. And there was the one guy who brought the cheese grater.
Oh, yeah.
I would just try to
there, and there was the like, guy with
like the oh, most esoteric ahead. Thing you could bring, you know, like I think in Mick Foley's book, someone said he said like someone brought like a Leonard Cohen album, like just I would bring stuff like that. I would just have like a bag of random stuff. Like, what about this? Hit him with this.
There was the one guy who like and they put this into the movie The Wrestler. Where, like, the guy was like, you know, use his leg, because it was, like, a guy with a prosthetic leg. And I think that was actually a thing that happened at an ECW show, and they just put it into The Wrestler.
I could see that.
It was a guy in a wheelchair with a prosthetic leg, and, like, he started going, like, use my leg, use my leg. And then the crowd started chanting, use his leg. And so The Wrestler, they actually, like, grabbed his leg and used it as a weapon.
But these are things that you would expect to see in pro wrestling, yeah. where anyone who like isn't familiar with pro wrestling would be horrified.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it makes no sense, but it's wrestling. It's not supposed to.
Yeah. I wouldn't say one of the like I think the one of the most like over the top and crazily dangerous matches, and the, like that really isn't necessary, but happens a lot at like super hardcore like indie shows like CZW and shit like that is the light tube death match.
Oh, those where, are like, stupid.
Yeah, like the ring is just lined with fluorescent light bulbs because like not only is it like first like obviously shards of glass, but also those things are full of like toxic chemicals that now you're like putting it into the air when you're slamming through them and like
and you're rolling just, around in them.
Yeah, exactly. And people are breathing it in and like it's getting everywhere and like it stays in the ring after the match is over. And like all after that get chemicals, inhale chemicals, you know, like
they might as well just call it a cancer match.
Yeah, pretty much. Because
eventually everyone involved is just going to die of cancer.
Yeah,
from whatever it is that's in the bulbs. I mean, I understand why an indie show would get the idea that they should use it because yes, it makes a great effect. It sound like it explodes, so like you like it makes a nice sound, and it's also very cheap.
Yeah,
so I understand why you would think, oh, you know, we could use that, but like once you actually like. Process what you want to use. Like, it's like, is this really a good idea?
Yeah.
I mean, with wrestling and use and any form of weaponry, which could be anything in the world, like, is this a good idea? Is usually not the first phrase that enters anybody who wants to get involved with pro wrestling anyway. At least on the wrestler side, the business side, I guess I could see it, but I don't know how promoters who aren't who aren't WWE or AEW really make any money, or Japan, or any of the big Mexican promotions. I don't know how anybody outside of those makes any money.
Well, I don't think they do, and it shows.
Well, yeah, because we don't live in a, like, despite what indie wrestling fans will tell you, we are not in a wrestling boom period. In fact, a lot of times if you like having to mention that you're into pro wrestling is usually followed by, but I'm not like those people.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually saw someone comment the other day on something. Someone was making a comment about like toxic fan communities and stuff like that. And someone made a comment that like, I, he's like, yeah, like, and you know, going, being a part of that, he's like, I've never seen a more toxic fan community than pro wrestling fans. Like, literally, like, you think about all the toxic fan communities, like Star Wars and Star Trek or whatever. He's like, yeah, there's no one holds a candle to pro wrestling fans.
No, they will eat each other alive.
Yes. I could see that all the time when I'm like on a couple of like wrestling groups on Facebook, and it's like, that's literally what it is they're toxic.
my favorite is when they start ostracizing each other and they call them stupid and they call each other stupid marks. It's like you understand that everyone in this forum, anyone actively engaging in this, is a mark by definition.
Yeah,
because you're talking about something that everyone knows is predetermined as if it's real. And I get it that you want your belief suspended, that you want your disbelief suspended while you're watching it in the moment, but this is after the fact. And also, like, I understand if you feel a certain way when you're like, you know, 12.
Yeah.
But all of these guys are in their 40s. So like, if you look at, just read the comment section of any pro wrestling article or YouTube video or anything, and it's some of the funniest things once it dawns on you that these are probably guys in their 40s and 30s. It just becomes the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, there's enough wrestling out there where it's like, whatever you like, there's plenty of it. There's no reason to get really incredibly angry at each other over it. It's just like, there's enough room in the pool for everybody. But people
just enjoy the show.
Yeah. People will be toxic about, like, people will be toxic at each other over, like, well, this is my version of toxic. That's the best version of being toxic. No, my version of being toxic is the best. It's just, I joined a Facebook group that's Simpson wrestling memes. And even then it's like, guys, this is so incredibly niche. How are you making this toxic? Like, people arguing like that meme's offensive and outdated, and
my favorite is when people try to bring the social justice elements into things, and it's like, you realize that this is pro wrestling where storylines are created because of fake social justice actions that they're against. Like, you understand that's the point of the show, is to get people riled up over something. Like, this is the excuse. This is the basis for the storyline.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you don't need to be like, wrestling has a lot of bad shit in it.
Yes.
But it's like, let's just kind of like, let's work together. Let's move past it. Like I said, you can like what you like, but like, you know, it's okay that the thing you liked is no longer like socially acceptable in this in some regards. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, you can't view pro wrestling with the lens of today and say, oh, well, that, well, we need to shut that down because it's, yeah, it's pro wrestling. Like, that's like, have you seen what the product is?
Yeah.
Like, that's probably my favorite part of the conversations. Or, I mean, really, when they're like, when they start calling each other marks, because it's like, we're all marks by definition for even enjoying this. Like, we're the target audience that makes us the mark. So you, yeah, calling me a mark, like, is like going outside and say, and like going outside when it's raining and saying, oh, it's wet out. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I know that. And you are too. We're both marks because we're here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, see, I'm a smark, not a mark.
Yeah, that's worse. Just watch the program.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, it.
Like I said, if you don't like, and like the beauty of pro wrestling, if you don't like a match, another one's coming. Like, you, yes, can just wait it out or go get a drink, maybe talk to a loved one, you know? There's plenty of stuff to do.
Yeah. Or if you really feel that, or if you really don't like what's going on, then just watch an old match that you like. There's plenty of content for the past, I don't know, 50, 60 years where you can find, where there's something out there for everybody.
Mm.
And you're not going to have to dig very hard.
If you want to watch two men dressed as kaijus wrestle on a diorama of a city, there's that, you know?
Yes.
If you want to watch people do, like, highly skilled technical wrestling, there's also that, too. Like, you know?
Yes, at the end of the day, we're just watching people in their... We're just watching grown, muscular men with, like, all covered in baby oil in their underwear trying to beat each other up over a belt.
Yep.
In the immortal words of the missus, this is for straight men, how? But there it is. And, yep, on top of that, they're committing major felonies in the process of doing so. All for belts.
Is it really a felony, shiny, though, if they're both consenting to it? Wouldn't it just be mutual combat?
I mean, I suppose. But they do this in every state, and every state, somehow this is sanctioned.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, if you take wrestling out of context, no one goes to... That's what it is. It's a bunch of muscular... It's muscular people in their underwear fighting over a belt and committing acts of violence and felonies to do so.
Yep.
And occasionally things that may or may not be fall under the category of attempted murder. But it's all for us, and for some reason we're all entertained by this. And at the end of the day, take all of the logic out of this.
Yeah.
Because nobody is going to jail. Nobody on these programs who is committing a major felony against their fellow man or woman, and in some events, child. nobody goes to jail. In fact, most of the time, the referee just throws them out of the match, and that's enough for the audience.
Yep.
You really have to imagine, like, you have to imagine just how absurd it would be if real life were like pro wrestling. But of course, everybody would have put someone through a table at some point.
Oh,
having been put through several, and put people through at least, well, also put people through several, not in non-wrestling situations. These are true stories. This is not the character or gimmick that I created for the sake of the show. These events have happened in my real life. I have put people through tables, and I have been put through tables. The fifth grade was rough. It's not something that you want every single day, but it would be a very interesting world if we lived in a world where we live by pro wrestling laws. I think the only fictional world that I really want to live in is that's two. There's Doc Brown's 2015 that we were supposed to get in Back to the Future Part 2 that we never got. yeah, with flying cars and a swift justice system, because all lawyers were abolished. And also, I would like a world where the Yu-Gi-Oh card game actually functions as it does in the original anime.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yes, yes, it would. It won't, just no holograms. Unfortunately, we won't get any holograms.
Hey,
not yet. Maybe we will.
We have holograms. So maybe
we do have holograms, but we don't have them for like trading card games just yet.
I think there was a company that was making like an augmented reality thing where you could play Yu-Gi-Oh like that. And like you looked
at your phone. Cool.
Yeah, like kind of like Pokemon Go, except with Yu-Gi-Oh.
No, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But they've just, like we've said on the Magic episode, they've turned that game into such a complicated thing, but I'm not interested in that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would actually learn the rules of Yu-Gi-Oh if we had actual holograms. Augmented reality is not going to do it for me. VR is not going to do it for me either. But like, if it actually, like, you can be walking around and just someone throws a monster at you, I will be in then.
Yeah. Yep. Or if we could at least get that cool like Star Wars virtual chess game where the monsters are like destroying each other.
Oh yeah.
I could get caught up into that. All right, but is there anything else that we need to say?
No, I think we've pretty much covered everything there is to cover about bad wrestling gimmick matches.
Yes, I'm sure we could go on and there's plenty of others, but
yes.
We don't have 4 hours today.
Yeah. Yeah, we've covered the big ones. So, I mean, I'm sure like anybody out there watching, could you go check out more for your own and see if, you know, find some other crazy matches and just tell us about it. Leave us a comment.
Yeah, let us know about any strange and stupid gimmick matches that you've seen or heard of. And if you're finding us on YouTube on any video whatsoever, just send us a link to like some awkward gimmick match that you've seen. I don't care what it is. Well, maybe a little.
I care if you find the wrestling match that someone did at indie show involving Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters.
Oh God, I'm sure that exists. I'm sure that there does. I'm sure there was a match at some point where there's a spot planned where one of them says it's time to duel and they go into the corner and they grab their Yu-Gi-Oh decks and they start playing Yu-Gi-Oh in the middle of the ring and the ref is like selling the match. I almost expect that out of a Chikara show. May it rest in peace. Well, I don't know about peace. Didn't they end because of a sexual harassment thing? I can't remember.
What?
The Chikara Wrestling Federation?
I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, the founder got into some trouble.
That's what I thought. Well, that's too bad. I saw one of those shows. It was fun. But not something that I would ever take my significant other to and expect to still have them at the end of the night. Like that one brave soul who was there and bragging to everyone that he couldn't believe that he got his girlfriend to come to an indie wrestling show. His girlfriend next to him was not amused. She was not having a good time. And I looked at my friend Kevin and I said, well, that is the last time that he will see that woman. I don't know if it was. I did not speak to him. In fact, I prefer it that way. But that's why does this exist? And each and every one of you have been very, very kind and very courageous for sticking around this long, especially those who have been here since episode one. And you've listened to our Drek and Dribble for 88, 89 episodes. We're getting close to 100, which the first 100 is the hardest number of episodes to get to. And then after that, it just becomes obnoxious. So thank you all for supporting us thus far and joining us as we continue into the future to do whatever it is that we are going to do as we march on to our 100th episode. But thank you so much, Spaceman Frank, for coming down from your platform, from coming down from Roswell and saving us all, and just, you know, from just trying to make sure that the impending invasion is, well, a lot less painful and impending than it should be. But thank you. We appreciate your service. You are a gentleman and a scholar.
You know, gotta make sure everyone's got a board with a nail in it just in case they come for us.
And how? I'm surprised that that's not, that hasn't been an on a pole match.
Give it time.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, anyway. Thank you all. We appreciate you. Enjoy WrestleMania. Have fun. We won't be having we won't have a few episodes for a few weeks because I will be out in Portugal just enjoying my vacation time. But when we come back, we do have a few more episodes lined up. And I don't know what they are yet because we haven't quite planned them, but we're looking forward to having fun with you guys. But stay tuned in a couple of weeks. Enjoy WrestleMania and let's go, Cody.
Yeah.
All right. This has been Why Does This Exist? I have been Chris.
I have been Rob.
Oh, and I've been the Spaceman Frank.
Yes, you have. That's okay. I understand that you've got that you had a distress beacon at the moment, and that's perfectly fine. Go and call if you must. We're counting on
CM Punk's
you.
Posting on Instagram, and oh no.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
Well, that's not the worst news that I've heard today, so at least there's that.
Yeah.
But yes, as a wise Muppet must once sang on an animated program, the future is counting on you. Again, thank you all. Remember, question everything.